Greetings to each of you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus. I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 41. As I pondered a message for this morning, my thoughts seemed to revolve around the story of Joseph. Very familiar story to all of us, I'm sure. And I should have looked in our quarterly, maybe. I believe God was directing me, and I didn't, but I noticed this morning as I was sitting here that in a few weeks there's going to be quite a few studies on the story of Joseph. So I trust that what I have to share this morning will not, I trust it will add to the future discussions that we may have. For a text verse, I've taken Genesis 41 and verse 38. I'm going to read that verse at this time. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? The title for the message this morning is this, Four Pillars of the Spiritual Man. I'd like to look at four pillars of the spiritual man taken from the story of Joseph. Early in the week, I sort of centered on a subject of on Joseph. So throughout the week, I began reading the story again, meditating upon Joseph's life and his journey from the Vale of Hebron to the second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt. And I've been inspired with this, his journey and his life anew. He made the best out of the trials in his life. Maybe what we will do is read verses 37 to 53. Now, we won't read all of that. There's a few verses I want to pick out, starting at verse 37 of Genesis 41. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And the next few verses go on to say how Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he set him up. And he verse 43, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And the people cried unto him, and they cried and said, bow the knee. And he made him ruler. Verse 46 says, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The story of Joseph starts at age 17. Age 17. If you're a 17-year-old this morning, that's the start of where we hear of Joseph's journey. And now he's 30 years old. What happened between 17 and 30? And that's sort of what we want to look at this morning and look at four pillars of the spiritual man. Going on now to verses 50 to 53. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, a daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plentiness in the land of Egypt was ended. Now, the world around Joseph was not a friendly place. It was not a friendly place. And I could ask this question this morning to you. How friendly is the world around you? The world around you, how friendly is that? We like to think For most of us, we like to think, and I believe by and large it is this way, but that the inner circle of our closest family is secure and safe. And we, you know, that inner circle right in our home, our family, it's secure and safe. And only when we start to move out from that circle, further away out into society, do we start to feel the winds of temptation and opposition for our stand in God. We could use a hurricane for an example. You know, the eye of a hurricane is calm, I'm told. I believe even the sun might even shine through when the eye of the hurricane moves. But as the bands of wind and rain start moving over, the wind starts to chatter and damage starts to happen. For Joseph, the destructive wind was blowing right in the inner circle. We talked about that some this morning in our Sunday school lesson. The destructive wind was blowing right in the home. Favoritism of mom and dad. Opposition of brothers. For Joseph, that was blowing right in the inner circle. But yet with steady resolve, as the dreams of life came crashing down around him, he stood strong and resilient. Those dreams that just were falling, yet he stood strong. What possibly made the difference? I would like to suggest that it was the decision that he made at the fork in the road. What do I mean by that? As we live life, we find ourselves coming to the forks in the road, the crossroads on the road. A decision point. Am I going to go this way or that way? Shall I accept this or shall I choose this? It was the decision at the crossroad. I believe Joseph was a man just like we are. A man with like temptations, with like passions. But what made the difference? The four pillars that I would like to look at are these. And there are many that we could look at, but I've just chosen these. Victorious over temptation. Courageous in trial. Forgiving when hurt. And faith focused in God. I just like to look at those four pillars of the spiritual man. We're not going to look at all these scriptures, but I want to give you now just a brief history of Joseph's life, 17 to 30. Well, it might extend just a little bit beyond. But this young man, Joseph, a history of him in the land of Canaan. His life starts in Canaan. He was the son of Jacob and Rachel. His father's favoritism fueled his brother's hatred against him. His father made him a coat of many colors. And there's much discussion about what this coat of many colors may have been. Perhaps he was given an authoritative right among the brothers, and he wasn't looked at to have to do manual labor like they were. Rather, he was somewhat of a ruler over them. But at any rate, the coat of many colors stood out as an item of jealousy for the brothers. Joseph's dreams pointed forth to future happenings in his life. Through his brother Reuben's intercession, his life was spared. He was sold to a company of Ishmaelites. Now moving to history in Egypt, Joseph was sold again to Potiphar, an elite officer of Pharaoh. He was cast into prison as a result of false accusation. Joseph interpreted the dreams of the butler and baker. Joseph, in God's time, got to stand before Pharaoh. Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh and gave him advice. Then he got to interact with his brothers and provide for them. And finally, Joseph got to experience being reunited with his family like never before, in a way and in a dimension that he did not have at age 17. Now, moving on. Victorious over temptation, number one. Joseph, an example, the first pillar, victorious over temptation. When I think of this subject, I thought of integrity. Integrity. What does integrity mean? Integrity means an unimpaired condition. It means soundness or adherence to a code, especially moral and artistic values. It also means the quality or state of being complete and undivided. That caught my attention. Complete and undivided. We're talking about victorious over temptation. You see, somehow the devil likes to trick us into thinking that it's not so bad. That we can tamper with things of evil and will not get hurt. And it produces a divided mind. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We could say that integrity is the opposite of intoxication. Sound thinking that's based on the Word of God that directs one in righteous living is integrity, sound thinking. So the question that I thought about as I pondered that was, what am I intoxicated with? What impairs, is there anything in my life that impairs my vision of God? I don't know if you can think of anything in your life, but things that impair our vision. And we become double-minded. Now, what can we see from Joseph's life? Of his integrity. Being victorious over temptation. I think, number one is, it's in Genesis 37 in verse 2. He brought his father the evil report of the happenings on the farm. And to me, that tells me something about Joseph's resolve and his mindset. The latter part of verse 2 says, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Joseph recognized evil, and he took issue with evil. And I do not believe that Joseph's intent, this is just my own personal feeling here, based upon the tenor that we see in Joseph's life. I do not believe that this was just a tattletale type of experience where, look at me, I'm better than them. But I believe it was a real concern come Jacob from Joseph. I can almost imagine the discussion. Dad, you know, there's trouble out there in the field. I really do not want to go back out there again. Really, son? What's going on out there? Tell me about it. I believe, victorious over temptation. Being victor over temptation is being open with what is bothering you. Being open with what you're seeing. What a better place is there for a son to go than to a father? Say, Dad, there's something I need to tell you. Number two, well, maybe I'll say this first. I believe that there was a moral line in Joseph's mind that was being crossed by what he saw. He took issue with it. Number two, when faced with the seductive advances of Potiphar's wife, he fled. And that is in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 to 12. Victorious over temptation. Flee the advances of the strange woman. Stand alert and guard your heart. The Bible calls this type of individual a strange woman. And sadly, the spirit of the strange woman is alive and well today. A few days ago, as I was traveling, I witnessed a man making his way across a parking lot. And by the direction he was walking, he was headed to a wicked place. And today, I feel convicted because while I was traveling at a fairly in somewhat heavier traffic and four-lane highway, I felt sorry for him. I felt sorry for that man. I still see him. He was walking, his head was down, and he was headed to a wicked place. And I remember thinking that I should just turn around and warn him. Victorious over temptation, brethren. Today, in the day and age we live, we do not need to walk across a parking lot. And that's just the burden of my heart this morning. Young people, young men, young women, that we take seriously, we're talking about pillars of the spiritual man, that we would take seriously the influence of immorality. You see, Potiphar's wife, she didn't just advance it to Joseph in one day, but as Joseph was working, she was tempting him. But Joseph fled. You know, there are moments when no one is in the house. And we are who we are when we do what we do in those moments. Flee. Proverbs 5:1 says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge from the lips of a strange woman. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold in hell." I just plead with us, brethren and sisters, this morning, men and women, young people, young maidens, take issue with sin and take issue with the allurements to sin. because Satan wants to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. With the increasing permissiveness of the age, the tendency can be for us to water down the sinfulness of sin. And it doesn't seem as sinful. I'd like to give three things. Three helps. Stand for truth. That's easy to say. But stand for truth. Stand. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10. The Bible has a promise to those who surrender to God. Depart from evil. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Flee youthful lust. Follow righteousness. Feed on the word of God. True faithfulness is not only fleeing the evil, but following the path of righteousness. Eating the strong meat. Integrity goes beyond the bounds of law. Do you catch that? Integrity goes beyond the bounds of law. What does that mean? That means that the fence does not need to keep you in. You stay in because of your relationship with God and your forgiveness of sin. The real strength of a tree is made evident by its condition after the storm. I'd like to move on now to courageous in trial. Did Joseph face trials? Yes, we know he did. Courage is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, or withstand danger. Strength to overcome fear and persist against the odds. What were the odds that Joseph faced? And you can think of your life. The odds that you're facing, those things in your life that are hard and that you're in right now and difficult to bear. And you're wondering, where's God in all this? What does God want? And keep in mind, there's a lot of this story that we know now that Joseph didn't know when he was in these experiences. And we do not know the end of the story either. But we do know some things. I would like to notice, first of all, the journey to Shechem. Okay, remember, Joseph came back from the field and he's told his dad there's problems out there in the field, whatever he said. And then sometime later, Jacob comes to Joseph again and he says, Joseph, your brothers are feeding the flock in Shechem, and I would like you to go and see how it's going with them. Now keep in mind, the brothers are angry with Joseph. They haven't been giving him a good greeting. They are disturbed with him. They are envious at him. And father says, Joseph, I want you to go and see how it's going with them. Do you think it took any courage for Joseph to say, yes, Dad, here I am. I'm going to go. I'm your man. I believe it did. I did not realize how far Joseph needed to go. From the vale or valley of Hebron to Shechem was approximately 60 miles. 60 miles. And I wanted to do this, and I forgot. I do not know where 60 miles would get you from here. I don't know if it's up Danville area. I'm not sure how far that would be. But in your mind, think of it. 60 miles from here, you're going to check on envious brothers, and probably by foot, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. And when you get there, you can't find your brothers. You're wondering, and if it says, you're looking for someone, and you say, yes, my brothers, and he knows who they are, and he says, oh, they're 20 miles further in Dothan. And you say, okay, and you go on. Courage. That was something that Joseph, I'm sure, needed to work through. But now keep in mind this. Did you know that Shechem was the place where just a few chapters earlier Joseph's two brothers, Simeon and Levi, went to that area and they killed all the males because they violated their sister. This is the area that Joseph was said to go. Do you think there was any fear? Courage in trial. How does that apply to us? I don't know, other than that, there are hard things sometimes that God calls us, that we're called to do, and we cringe. Joseph was thrown into a pit while his brothers sat down to eat a meal. He was lied about and cast into prison. He was forgotten for 2 years after the butler or the baker was freed. For 2 years, Joseph was there in prison. To live a victorious Christian life takes courage. Fear is an emotion that, if left unchecked, can wreak havoc in our Christian experience. Victorious Christian living takes courage. It takes courage. And brethren and sisters, I just want to encourage us to encourage each other to be strong in the Lord. Because encouragement helps so much. That simple word of, I'm praying for you. God bless you. How may I help you? Courage in trial. I'd like to move on now to forgiving when hurt. Forgiving when hurt. Corrie ten Boom says in her story, she was the lady that suffered much at the hands of persecutors during the time in the World War II. And after she was released from prison, at one point she got an opportunity. She was at a place and she met a man who was directly involved in being unkind to her in prison. And he reached out his hand to her to shake her hand. And she says, my hand just stayed at my side. And he reached again to shake her hand. I'm not giving this exactly. I should have, it's coming to my mind now as I'm thinking of this point. But her hand just stayed there. But she prayed to God, God, help me to forgive this man and reach out my hand. And God worked in her life, and basically said, I love him like I love you, or something to that effect. Love. And she said her hand went out and she reached for his hand and shook his hand in forgiveness. And then she says that there is no pit that is deeper than the love of God. There is no situation that is beyond God's redemption. Forgiveness is giving up resentment toward, to grant relief of payment for. I was inspired by one of the words that Joseph's servant said to his brother. You know, when Joseph came, the brothers came down to Egypt and they offered money. They wanted to pay for their food they're getting, and then they would go home and they would find out, our money is here. Like, our money's here. What is going on? And in one of the chapters, I don't have it written down here, but Joseph's servant says, when the brothers are talking to him about this, he says, I had your money. It wasn't the money. In my own words, I had your money. But there was higher power at work. Humanly speaking, the doors of opportunity were closed. We're closing one after another. But yet Joseph chose to forgive. After Jacob died, Joseph's brothers thought, okay, now he's going to get even with us. Now we're going to see it happen. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 50. I want to read a few verses here. I think this is very important because forgiveness, I think, somehow eludes us sometimes. But I just want you to read what Joseph says in verse 15, a few verses here, Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, in other words, see, they sent a messenger. They're scared. And incidentally, just a little bit earlier, they told Joseph, we're true men. Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comfort. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I think that is so beautiful. Oh, that God would be able to, in every situation that you are involved in, where there's whatever it may be, that there can be a resolution where people can be comforted together. And that is possible in the power of God. I believe it, brethren. It is. I don't know how it all happens, but it is possible. It is a mark, it is a pillar of a spiritual man. Last point. Just going to leave off there. Your mind is probably running in different angles. But may God bless you as you work through whatever it is in your experience. Last point is this. Faith focused in God. Perhaps this is a foundational point. Faith focused in God. Joseph expressed a strong faith in God. And I believe it was the presence of this faith in Joseph that empowered him to make the best out of the trials he faced. The faith in God. His focus was on God and not on the blackness of the situation around him. I'm going to read to you a few verses that talk about this. In Joseph's life, Joseph expresses faith in God in the happenings in the past, the present, and the future. Genesis 39:9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 40, verse 8. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. He's talking about the dreams. Genesis 41:16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Genesis 41:51-52. I read that in the outstart. But Joseph, when he named his sons, you can look at those God hath made me forget my toil in all my father's house, and God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Genesis 45, 5 to 8. I did not read this before. Genesis 45, 5 to 8. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. A faith focused on God. An unstable man, a divided man, tossed to and fro. An unstable man. If our focus is divided, we will face more trouble. I find it interesting. In Joshua 24 and verse 32, notice this. I talk about a faith focused on God. What did Joseph say? What does it say here? And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they where? In Shechem. In a parcel of ground which Jacob bought for the sons of, from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. You see, Joseph had a faith focused in God, and he believed God's promises. He told them, he said, you know, God is going to bring you out of this land. He's going to take you to the land that he has promised to our fathers. And when you go, he says, you take my bones along. Hebrews 11:22 says that by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I see a man who looked beyond and believed the promises of God. A pillar of a spiritual man is faith focused on God, believing the promises of God. I'd like to conclude. When God's Spirit is present in a person's life, it is noticeable to others. Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. We may not be the most prosperous person in the land, and that should not be our goal, to be the most prosperous materially. But we should be known as a person who the Lord is with you. God is with you. I'd like to close with this question that Pharaoh asked his servants in Genesis 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? What is the testimony of those around you? How are you building?